Good morning, Sally.
Morning to you, James.
Thank you so much for joining us this morning.
Pleasure.
So, Sally, if this policy becomes law, how will it benefit transgender people? What are some of the examples that, where it would make transgender lives a little bit easier?
It would first result in increased privacy, because at the moment where some people can't change the gender on their birth certificates because surgery is not an option, for an example, where people can't afford it, or perhaps they have another pre-existing medical condition that stops them going on an operating table, it would mean that when they have to produce a birth certificate, they wouldn't be outing themselves anymore and therefore losing privacy. We've also had stories, certainly here in Victoria, so I guess they'd be the same in Tasmania, that although we have some very good equal opportunity / anti-discrimination law around the country, sometimes principals, even of government schools, will still say, well, I want to see a birth certificate proving the person's gender. We'll now be able to have that. So not that that should have been a problem, but it will be. And also, the more we can get documentation to match across jurisdictions, so I'm thinking more of each state and then federally, it makes it easier to apply online for working with children to check if you need a job. A friend of mine had this happen where birth certificate said one thing, passport another, and was told, oh, you'll now have to do your check manually to come back in 15 days. Now, in a tight job market, and where there's, you know, a job needs to be filled quickly, that puts you instantly at a disadvantage. So there's going to be a whole heap of things that will be resolved by getting this sorted.
Yeah, absolutely. How did you feel when you heard this policy had passed Tasmania's lower house last week?
Oh, look, it was excellent. You know, the fact that the Speaker had the courage of her convictions to stand up for what she believed as the casting vote and get it through was fantastic. But, of course, you know, big tick to the Labor and Greens for getting it rolling. And so that's really, really good news that people are now seeing, you know, in the last few years, of course, we've seen some divisive stuff that has been more on partisan political lines. And now we're in a better position that, people are saying, well, you know, transcends political party lines, which has got to be good.
Yeah, absolutely. But I guess talking about divisiveness, Scott Morrison called this policy ridiculous on Twitter the day after it passed the lower house. But isn't this proposal a sign that society is becoming a little bit more accepting? That's not really ridiculous at all, is it?
Absolutely. Yeah, totally, totally. And look, this is now three strikes and he's definitely out on trans issues for Scott Morrison. You know, there was the ridiculous gender whispering comments back in September, and well done to the fabulous 13-year-old Evie McDonald, who stood up to him on the project, even though he ignored her. But there was one that didn't get reported a couple of weeks ago in early November, where Scott Morrison called transgender ridiculous. Now, that is vilification. And so now there's this third one. So he sadly is, I think, way out of touch with a majority of Australians who want a fair go. And for that matter, we had some research about, it's coming up for 2 years ago now, looking at comparisons of attitudes to trans across 24 countries. And 72% of Australians want trans people protected from discrimination. So they're very much, in terms of the broad brushstrokes, wanting things. Maybe people haven't understood the issues, but we find inevitably when things are worked through sensibly, they then get the deeper understanding on a specific one like birth certificates. So I think we have a Prime Minister who's polarising himself from a lot of people.
Yeah, do you think that misunderstanding is quite a big chunk of why there's a bit of divisiveness around the issue? Because simply when you were talking about the examples of how it would make lives easier, it made me clearer on why this is a good idea. Maybe it's just a case of miscommunication on the good and benefits of this policy.
Yeah, well, look, this gets us into, we're probably both biased given that we're both involved in community media, but, you know, it does say that, unfortunately, some aspects of commercial media will look first for ratings points and clickbait and maybe newspaper sales, and there has just been some, not just misunderstanding, but blatant distortion, and they have the power, they have the numbers, perhaps, and people read that and perhaps don't understand it. And, you know, it therefore needs more, I think, balanced media coverage. Sure, trans and gender diverse and families can be proactive, but it would be helpful if we could get some balance rather than sensationalism from large chunks of commercial media.
Yeah, absolutely. It's definitely good to be part of a community kind of based media position. And I guess on the topic of acceptance, what are your hopes that this policy is going to pass Tasmania's upper house and actually become law?
There's a more interesting one. The Tasmanian upper house has always been a unique sort of house of parliament in that it does seem to elect a lot of independents. So it's not as, say, rigid on party lines, first of all, say, the two larger parties, but even, you know, whereas most of the other upper houses around Australia where they exist are elected by proportional representation, and then you've got, say, Greens and other minor and micro parties with a balance of power. It can be a very tricky thing. I'm cautiously optimistic, having spoken to people down there, but, you know, it would be a matter of making sure that the ducks get in a row. But I do understand that the groups in Tasmania are meeting with upper house MPs this week sometime, and we'll probably know more then.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting to see how it all unfolds. And just finally, people have criticised this policy because it would be an opt-in system, which means that parents will have to go out of their way to record their child's gender. Some have said that it's discriminating against non-transgender people. What are your thoughts on the whole idea of the policy?
No, I don't agree with that, in that, you know, the fact is that if you've got choices whether people can put it on or not, is, you know, the main thing. And so, you know, you can't have, it's got to be, you know, one way or another, and then opt in or opt out. So if it had been automatically put an assumed gender on and then you could opt out quickly, then people would have said it would have been the other way around. So I don't really think that washes either way.
Yeah, that's absolutely fair enough. I guess one thing would be whether if the parents do decide to opt in and they say, yeah, she's a girl, he's a boy, and then the child grows up to become transgender, or he's been transgender the whole time, how does that get resolved then in that case?
Sorry, can I just get that question again?
Yeah, sure. I was just thinking out loud kind of thing. So if the parents do opt into the system and they do give the child a gender, if that child does grow up to be transgender, how does that child then, you know, opt out in a way?
How do they opt out?
Yeah.
Prior to 16, the parents or parents or guardians would have to then, you know, work through that and do the changes. Yep.
Oh, okay, cool. That was a lot simpler than what I was imagining for some reason. Anyway, thank you so much for joining us, Dahlia, this morning and telling us a little about what we can expect over the next week when they do, put their policy to the upper house, and hopefully it does become law. But it's going to be interesting to see what happens. Thank you so much for joining us.
Yeah, pleasure. And just two last, we'll say, equally important notes. The good news is the Northern Territory is also moving on some birth certificate reform, which is now before Parliament, and I believe Western Australia is close as well. So, you know, once we get to, say, four or five states or territories with, we'll say, at least passable laws, that's going to put everything in a good place.
Oh, absolutely. Then nationally, we can say that we've progressed in the issues of LGBTIQ+ community. Absolutely. That'd be great.
Well, that's right. And I should add, of course, with the Victorian election results on Saturday, that puts the issue here back right on the map. And there's, I'd say, a pretty clear mandate to get it done this time after we didn't quite get through our upper house in 2016. So it's just great to see all these things happen. And as I say, people have more equitable lives.
Absolutely. A bit of hope in the air for once. Thank you so much, Sally, once again, for joining us.
Pleasure, James.